This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, we're teaching about how to believe God.
We're in the midst of a series of messages on living by faith. Living by faith. And last week we found out something about faith. We found out that faith is more than just believing. Because the scripture says that faith without works, faith that doesn't have action with it, is dead. And so we found out that just believing something does not equate to faith. But at the same time, we don't want to forget the fact that believing is the first step of faith. In other words, believing by itself is not enough. But if you don't believe right, then you can't have a right faith. How many of you know John 3:16? John 3:16. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, the whole thing starts with believing. Believing the right thing. Go over to Matthew chapter 11. Excuse me, Mark. Mark chapter 11, starting with verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. You see, believing rightly is the very foundation of our faith. If you don't believe right, then your faith is not right and it will not be effective. What we want to look at today is how we can believe effectively, how we can base our faith on a right belief, how we can believe God. Go over to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, that's the scripture passage that we read this morning. And in Numbers chapter 13, the children of Israel are getting ready to go into the promised land. And God comes to Moses and said, Moses, I want you to select some men and send them into the land to find out what's there. God says, Moses, look, I've given this land to the people. But now you need to go in, spy the land out so that you understand what is there. The purpose of it was so they would know how to be prepared to take the land. When Priscilla and I were getting ready to travel down to Houston, Priscilla kept asking, well, what's the weather down there like? Now, the reason she was asking that was she wanted to know how to prepare. She wanted to know what kind of clothes we needed to take. Now, me, I'm a man. I said, hey, you know, I got a pair of jeans. What else do I need? But she knew that she needed to be prepared if it was going to be cold, if it was going to be hot. It would take different kinds of outfits. So she wanted to be prepared. But here's the deal. The question was not whether we were going to go or not. The question was, how do we be prepared to go most effectively? You see, when Moses sent these men into the promised land, it was not a question of, are we going to go and take the land? No, that was not the question at all. Why? Because God had already told them, I've given this to you. I've given this land to you. So the issue is not, are we going to take it? The issue is, how do we best prepare ourselves? We need to know what's in there so we know how to be prepared to do what it's going to take that land. And so Moses chose these people. I want to point to just a couple of them. Two individuals out of the 12 that were sent into the land that we can focus our attention on. Look in verse 6. From the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Caleb, one of those mighty men who went to spy out the land. Then look at verse 11. From the tribe of Joseph, that is from the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Susi. Gadi. So we have Caleb and we have Gadi. Now, I could have chosen any one of 10 guys for Gadi. So I just picked him as one because he represents one faction and Caleb represents another faction. Let's see what happens to them. Caleb and Gadi. Look in verse 23. They all went into the promised land, went to spy it out. They traveled all over the land. And remember we read the verse that said it was the time of grapes? Look at what they found. Verse 23. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. Now, do you catch the picture? They went into the promised land. They found some grapes. In fact, they found a cluster of grapes. How many of you buy grapes at the supermarket? Priscilla was telling me that green grapes are now going for more than $2 a pound in the supermarket. So one little cluster of those grapes may cost you a couple of dollars, right? Catch this. These guys went into the promised land. They found grapes there so big that they got one cluster. And in order to carry it, they had to rig a pole between two guys and carry the grapes on a pole. You want to talk about a fertile, fruitful land. This was a wonderful place. They brought that thing back. Can you imagine what that would have seemed like to the people? Grapes, man. Hallelujah. But that wasn't all they found. Look in verse 26. Let's see some of the other things they found in the land. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there." Now, do you see what's going on? They're reporting on what they saw in the land. They brought back a sample. They brought back some of the grapes. And they said it's a wonderful land, flowing with milk and honey. Beautiful land. However, the people in the land are strong. Their cities are fortified. This is going to be a tough deal. In fact, they said, "We found the sons of Anak there." Does anybody know the name of any one of the descendants of Anak? Goliath. The sons of Anak were giants. Goliath was one of them. And they said, "You know who we found when we got in there? Giants. And we're supposed to go in there and defeat these folks?" Catch this. Caleb went in. He saw grapes. He saw the fruit of the land. And he saw the fortified cities and the giants. Gadi went in. He saw the grapes. He saw the fruit of the land, the fortified cities, and the giants. They both saw the same thing. But when they came back, they had different reports to give. Let's look at what they said. Go over to verse 30. Look at the reports that each one gave. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him, and this includes Gadi, said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land. I like the way the King James puts it. It says, they gave an evil report. They gave an evil report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our sight. And so were we in their sight. Caleb and Gadi both went into the land and saw the same things. But they came back with totally opposite reports. Caleb said, we can do it. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Let's go. Gadi said, no, wait a minute. Hold on. Do you know how big those dudes are over there? Man, I looked up at them. And in their eyes, I was like a grasshopper. And guess what? When I looked at myself in comparison to them, I felt like a grasshopper. We can't do this. Let's just go on back to Egypt, ask Pharaoh's pardon, go be slaves again. Because, man, we can't do it. Two people saw exactly the same thing and came out with totally different reports. Now, how could that happen? How many of you have ever heard the saying, seeing is believing? Seeing is believing. You know what that is? That's one of those things that people say that is not true. Seeing is not believing. Simon, come up for a moment, would you please? Now, what did I just do? If you don't know me and you don't know Simon, and you couldn't hear what I was saying, you saw me go up to him and attack him. On the other hand, if you know Simon's a good friend of mine, and you know I'm not attacking him, so you don't have a problem with it. But the other person that doesn't know us is already dialing 911. Amen? Thank you, Simon. Of course, now you get on my nerves, I might attack you. See, what's going on? Two people can see the same thing and come away with a different report. It's not in what they see. Seeing is not believing. You know where it starts? In what they already believe. You see, the person that knows Simon and knows me and knows that we're good friends, they already believe I wouldn't attack him. And therefore, what they saw was not an attack. The other person who doesn't know me saw this big dude trying to beat up on this little dude. It all started with what they already believed. And that's why Caleb and Gadi came out with totally different reports. Understand this. We do not see with our eyes. Do you know that? We don't see with our eyes. We see with our brains. Because the brain has to interpret what the eye sees. And two people, because of the way their brains are functioning, can look at exactly the same thing and come up with different reports. Over the last few years, we've seen it over and over again. Some man has been in jail for 25, 30 years on the testimony of eyewitnesses to the crime. And finally, they go and do a DNA test. And they set him free. All of those years in prison on the testimony of eyewitnesses. And finally they come up with a scientific test that said it could not have been him. Seeing is not believing. Just because you see it doesn't mean that what you think you saw was the truth. And that's what was happening to Gadi. Gadi saw the same thing that Caleb did, but because of what he already believed, he interpreted it totally differently. Look again at verse 31. Look at what Gadi believed. But the men who had gone up with him said, that's Gadi, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Now catch this. Were the people stronger than them? Yes, they were. They really were giants. They really did live in fortified cities. They really did have a good Department of Defense. They were stronger than the children of Israel. But what was the belief behind Gadi's assessment of the situation? He said, we cannot overcome them. Did you catch it? Said, we cannot do it. See, Gadi's point of view was this. If we have to go up there and do it, it's going to be us that has to do the job. Now then Caleb came along, and Caleb had a different belief system, even though he had seen the same thing. Look in chapter 14 of Numbers, starting with verse 6. Caleb and Joshua were the only two who said, we can go do this thing. And look at what they said to the people. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Do you see it? They came out with totally different reports, not based on seeing different things. They saw the same thing. But what they concluded was based on what they already believed. Gadi believed, if we're going to do it, we got to do it ourselves. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen based on my intelligence, my strength, my good looks, my money, the job I got, the title on the door, the wife I married. If I'm going to make it in life, it's going to be because I did it. Anybody know somebody like that? I'm a self-made man. I did it myself. Well, let me tell you something. Most Christians at some point in their lives believe that. Now, they don't say they believe it, but they act like they believe it. They act like if they're going to make it in life, it's going to be based on what they can accomplish, what their strength is, what their wisdom is. And Caleb comes along and says, hold on a moment. Wait a minute. Didn't God tell us something about this before we even went? Didn't God tell us that he'd already given us the land? Didn't God tell us that he would never leave us nor forsake us? That wherever we go, he's going to be with us. All we do have to do is keep on walking with him, and he's going to be by our side. Didn't God say that to us? And if God would delight in us, if we'll just keep on walking with him, God has already taken away their protection. God has already opened them up. Even though they look strong, even though they look big, they can't fight us. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? You see, it wasn't depending on what they saw with their eyes. It was depending on what they believed before they even went. So understand this. When we talk about having faith, faith starts with belief. But believing is not what you see. Seeing is not believing. In fact, let me tell you what it is. If you're a Christian, turn it all the way around. Seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. Amen. Believing is seeing. You see, Caleb was able to see the truth of the situation because of what he believed. He was able to see it. Gadi couldn't see it. Gadi was one of the wise men of Israel. He was doing the best he knew how for his people. But he looked at those giants over there and said, man, I can't see how we can possibly do this. Oh, man, I'd go if you could just show me a way we could do it. But I can't see it. Caleb says, stop looking over there and look up. Stop looking at the problem and look up. Stop looking at your resources and what you've got to offer and look up. Stop looking at what they've got and how bigger they are than you are. Look up. And once you look up, you'll see the truth. Hallelujah. See, the truth isn't out there. The truth isn't that problem that you're facing. The truth is not that situation that you have to overcome. Oh, that may be the facts. That may be the facts. It was a fact that there were giants in the land. That's a fact. But guess what? It wasn't the truth. The truth is that with Jesus by our side, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There is nothing that's too hard for God. Amen?
Amen.
That's the truth. That's the truth. Whenever you have to choose between the truth and the facts, choose the truth. Choose the truth. You see, people out in the world, all they see is the facts. And they'll tell you every time, you can't do it. How many of you have ever had somebody tell you, you can't? You are incapable. You can't do that. You know what that is? That may be a fact. It may be. At that point in your life, whatever it is you're trying to do, you may not have to have the training for it, the education. You may not look the part. You know, everybody's not as handsome as some of us are. You may not have the right contacts, the right people who know you. You may not have any of that stuff, enough money in the bank. You may not be able to do it, but that's only a fact. Somebody told me that my father owns the cattle on 1,000 Hills. Amen. See, it doesn't matter what's in my bank account. That's not the issue. Scripture says, I am a joint heir with Christ. Do you understand what that means? A joint heir with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Joint heir means what? Priscilla is a joint heir with me. You know what that means? Whatever I got, she's got. I heard that amen. Whatever I've got, she's got. There is no distinction. There is no, this is mine and this is yours. You know, I talk about her car and my car. It's only because that little Mercury I can't fit in, okay? So that's her car. And my Honda, she can't drive because it's a stick shift, so that's my car. Amen? But in reality, guess what? I own the Merc, and she owns the Honda. Because we're joint heirs together. And when the scripture says we are joint heirs with Christ, that means that everything he has belongs to us. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Who can stand up against that? Amen. Who can stand against that? Praise God. And so when we began to look at the challenges that face us in life, and we saw in Mark 11, it says that if we will believe without doubting, then what we believe, what we speak forth in faith will come to pass. That's how important right believing is. It allows God to work in our lives in a supernatural way. But we have to get our beliefs straight. Got to get our beliefs straight. How then can we believe the right way? How can we avoid being a gaddy? Going on what we see. Going on the facts instead of on the truth. Go over to John chapter 20. Gospel of John chapter 20. Start with verse 24. Here's a man in scripture that actually I like. Because if nothing else, he was honest. His name was Thomas. And look at what happened. After Jesus had been resurrected, Thomas was not there when he appeared to the disciples. Look at verse 24. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, listen to this, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. That was Thomas. I don't care if all 10 of you stand up in my face and tell me you saw the Lord. For me to believe, let me tell you what it's going to take. He's going to have to come in here, stand in front of me, hold out his hands, and I'm going to stick my finger and see if those nails prints are real. And then if that seems to pass the test, you know what the next thing I'm going to do is? He's got supposed to have a hole in his side. Remember they stuck him with that spear? I'm going to check it out. And if, I don't believe it, but if the palm prints check out and the hole in the side checks out, then I'll believe it. But that's what it's going to take. Now catch this. This was not a case of, you know, you hear people say this a lot. I wish I could believe like you believe. Ever had somebody say that to you? I wish I could believe like you believe, but I just can't believe it. I wish I could be a Christian, but I just can't believe all that. No, Thomas showed us what the real deal is. Thomas said, I'm the one making the decision on whether I'm going to believe or not. It's not a case of whether I can or can't believe. It's a case of whether I choose or choose not to believe. I have decided what it's going to take to make me believe. If I don't see the nail prints, if I don't touch the hole in the side, I have decided I will not believe. Do you catch it? It's not a matter of you either believe or you don't believe and you can't do anything about it. It's a matter of you have a choice to make. You can choose to believe God or choose not to believe God. What does the scripture say? Choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day whom you will serve. What? But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. See, it's a choice. It's a choice. So how do you make that choice to believe God? On what basis can you make the choice to believe God? Go over to Romans chapter 10. Verse 17. Romans 10, 17. Here is the basis for believing the right things so that you have a foundation for your faith. Romans 10, 17. Here it is. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What's the foundation for what we believe? It's the word of God. Amen? It's the word of God. You don't need to see before you believe. All you need is the testimony of the word of God. And you can stand on that. And that's all the evidence you need of what the truth is. If God said it, it's the truth. Amen? That's all I need to know. It doesn't matter what I see with my eyes. Doesn't matter how deep and dark the situation may be. Doesn't matter what somebody is telling me I can't do. If God said I can do it, the whole United States can stand up and tell me I can. And if God said I can, I'm going to do it anyway. Christians are never victims of circumstance. Not unless they choose to be. Why? Because there is no situation that God can't get you through. That's the promise that he made. Doesn't matter how it looks. The devil is a master of disguise. He'll come and he'll try to make that situation look as big and as bad as he possibly can. There are giants out there. They're going to tromp on you. And you stand up and you say, but wait a minute. I don't care if they're giants or not. I know that Jesus is with me. And he has already overcome the world. You see, that's what faith is. How do you believe in God? You make the choice. Are you going to believe the situation that you see? Are you going to believe the lies that the devil will try to tell you? Or are you going to believe what God has said in his word? It's your choice.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Dairy Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Dairy or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcomchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.